Yo, how we doing?
Are we on? Yeah. Oh, great. We're back.
We're here. We're kicking it. We're keeping it real. We're keeping it live. It is the latest episode of Unfixed. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. I am Adam Jensen. And ladies and gentlemen, once again, I give you Keevney.
Chad
is here. Chad is live. Chad is with us. Chad, how did you get? Where were you? Like, you were saying you were going to bring meat.
I was in exile in the northwest of Ireland, you know, taking in the waves.
So you came all the way again from the northeast.
Through the northwest.
What's it called? Mulberry Farms? What's the name of the...
Riverside.
Yeah. Riverside Park.
Riverside Park, yeah.
What's the place
I came
called?
Through the floodplains.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This is soon to be the floodplains. Again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Unfixed. You know, we try to bring you the best in subculture and counterculture. We try to keep it fresh, keep it live, try to keep it going.
To keep Dublin, keep Ireland interesting. give you reasons to get out of the house this weekend and go see stuff.
And we want to give you reasons to interact with us. So if you want to get involved with the show, all you got to do is send us a tweet at Unfixed Radio, or you can send us an email at unfixedradio@mail.com, not Gmail, at mail.com. You can also hit us up on the Facebook Messenger at facebook.com/unfixedradio. Get involved, hang out. Look, Chad, we got a cool guest tonight. It is Greg Dunn from Priory Brewing. You've heard of this.
Yeah.
You've heard of the Priory Brewing.
I have heard of the Priory Brewing.
But it's pearls before swine, right? Because you don't like delicious and amazing beer.
I'm not a beer drinker. You know that. This is why it's difficult.
So this is a hard thing for you.
This is why I've been asking everyone I know to send me questions, so I just don't come across as an idiot tonight.
Right. Okay. Yeah. But I mean, you used to drink beer. You're talking about, because you said you only like things that travel well.
Well, beer doesn't travel well. No, I've never been a beer drinker.
Uh-huh.
I drink whiskey, tea, and water. That's it.
That's it. And you drink the odd wine as well.
Oh, right? Yeah. Well, that's just to be pretentious.
You know, cognac, brandy.
Mm. Well, I did go out with a girl from a cognac making family.
Okay.
And I'm more of an Armagnac drinker because of where I lived. But hey.
What's Armagnac?
Armagnac, it's very similar to cognac, but it's a different region. So in French terms, it's completely different.
I have no more information than I did.
Well, so cognac is more north towards La Rochelle, and Armagnac will be more just north of Toulouse.
I regret asking. You're just talking about regionalities. What is cognac really?
These are cooked wines.
Is it not a brandy, basically? Which is really condensed
that
wine.
It's
a brandy.
Yeah,
it's brandy. So this is regional brandy, like, you know, Tennessee whiskey is bourbon or whatever.
Yeah. You just make things seem so crass.
You know,
Adam,
I'm a realist. I'm a pragmatist. And you were saying earlier, you know, you have this new theory. This is a pet theory of yours, where everything's bullshit. Apparently. Is that right? Everything's pretentious crap.
Have you been listening to me as I talk to myself before I go to sleep?
I don't know. I do listen to you. All right, so welcome to Unfixed. We have a brewer on. Chad's a little ignorant, but you know, maybe we can learn him up. We can educate you in the ways of beer, and perhaps you could even sip on it and sample something, and we could be like, oh my god, I'm welcome back to the world I've been missing.
Well, the only times I've been drinking beer were on the beach when it's just been too hot and there's no water left. That's that's really its last resort.
Indeed.
But I did taste some beer back there. And
tasted some beer.
Yeah, well, in the other room outside of the studio, and it was not bad. And I'm thinking recipes. So we're going to have to ask a little bit about that later.
You were drinking a little bit of beer?
Yeah.
Yeah, you want more? Want to drink beer?
You want to drink beer, Chad? Yes or no?
I want to eat beer.
Okay, yeah, it is kind of a nourishing thing, and it's very calorie rich. All right, so it's a segment driven show, Unfixed. For your devotees, understand this, but anybody just tuning in for the first time, this is a segment driven show. We go from segment to segment, keeping it a bit fast paced. For starters, we generally have the Southeast Ireland update. This is when I bring you all the important information from the southeast of Ireland. And we also have the shower talk segment.
Oh,
chat.
Yeah, that's highly controversial.
It's certainly engaging. It's its own show. You can actually stream it on SoundCloud on its own. Shower talk. It has its own Twitter feed. It's shower_talk at yeah. shower underscore dog. It's its own show. It's released by itself. It was kind of a baby. It was like a, it was really a tumor that grew and then we clipped it off, but it had sentience.
Yeah.
And so now it lives on its own. Shower Talk, the show about talking about thinking about showering. That is another. And then we also have my my wacky, quirky, nervous in the service publisher.
Just can't wait to hear what he's left.
I publish books and my publisher calls me. He leaves voicemails. I keep them. I don't listen to them. I play them on the show so that we can hear what he's up to because I love him. He's a freak and I love hearing from him. We also, Chad, bring you scary news
from
the world, the fearful. We have a we call Andrea, and we have 90 seconds with Andrea Lorien.
And do we know what she's going to be talking about tonight?
I think we were talking a tiny bit, and I think she's going to be talking about the television show Jeopardy.
Jeopardy. Okay.
She's going to do her 90 second dispatch with the mind business about the television show Jeopardy. Alex Trebek sitting and watching it. That kind of thing. What else are you going to say? You're sitting and watching it. That's what you do, right? And you imagine yourself being on it, I think.
Can you give us a little bit of what Jeopardy is? Because it's...
Look, we'll save it for the dang... You don't know what the television show Jeopardy is, Chad.
I you know, it's not the one where you have to... Your answers are questions.
That is correct.
That's Jeopardy.
So you're given the answer to the question, right?
Oh, and you have to guess the question.
That's correct.
Okay.
Fun format.
Okay.
And it's hosted by the legendary Alex Trebek. He's battling cancer. He's been a cultural touchstone. It's one of the, in all seriousness, one kind of the universal norms in my country, in my country.
In my country.
This is, it's one of a few things that's kind of sociologically normal for basically everybody that it has nothing to do with red state, blue state, whatever. You kind of like Jeopardy. And if we lose Trebek, if we lose this one common unifying thing, then maybe we'll lose the whole nation.
I presume it's kind of like Countdown for us.
I haven't a clue because no one watches that horse shit.
Okay.
As far as I know.
But when is Jeopardy actually on? Is that like daytime TV?
I think it's like a 7 o'clock thing. All right, and we got one more segment. Okay. The dearly departed Devon Oss, as I call her. Okay. We recorded three of the Devon's eco tips segments, and we've got one left in the chamber, and we're gonna fire it off, 21 gun salute and all that.
Yeah,
that's, and we've got the guest
touching.
We've got Greg Dunn from Priory Brewing, Chad, and he'll do the Pet Cemetery with us. I think he'll do the Pet Cemetery with us, right?
Okay, yeah.
And he'll visit this Pet Cemetery. Nina, the producer out there in the green room, if you can tell Greg what he's listened to the show, Greg knows what he's doing. And Greg has brought in a sampler pack from the Priory Brewing. It's going to be lit. It's going to be live. It's going to be fun. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, I would ask for your attention as I take you down against your will to the sunny southeast of Ireland, where we will engage in Chad. You know, one criticism Unfix has gotten over the years is we don't do enough poo-poo humor.
Poo-poo humor.
Yeah, we don't do enough, dump and feces humor.
Okay.
So we're trying to rectify that today. And so we're going to go down to the southeast and check things out because, as I have here in my hands, my friends, the latest issue of the Wicklow Times.
I think, Adam, that people need to imagine you just sitting by a lay-by, eating a packet of crisps, reading the news from the south, southeast.
Cheese and onion.
Yeah, cheese and onion.
Cheese and onion potatoes. Okay, so here's what's happening, my friends, in the Wicklow Times in the southeast of Ireland. The headline reads, "Campaign asks people to think before they flush." The Think Before You Flush campaign aims to highlight the problems caused by flushing inappropriate items down the toilet.
Oh, give us a list. What are inappropriate items?
I want to hear what your imagination went to.
Well, because once I ended up watching something on TV.
We started with once.
Well, it was about what people throw down the sewers. And I know condoms are the things that just don't break down. And they have to send people down the sewers to pick out condoms.
Right, yeah, that's a good job. What's that pay?
I presume there's Tampax as well.
Oh,
tampons.
Jesus. I think that's on the list. You know Andre Bolster? You know Andre Bolster?
Yeah.
Remember that guy? He told me in confidence once never to tell anybody that he didn't give me that caveat, but he did say he used to take the shower head when he was in the bathtub when he was a kid and talk into it and say, "Leonardo, Raphael, guys, if you can hear me," talking into the shower head, trying to talk to people in the source. All right, back to the southeast. Okay, it's currently in its fourth year, this campaign, Think Before You Flush. Each year, there are regional campaigns in chosen cities, towns, and villages across Ireland, and last Tuesday, it was in Wicklow Town. At the event, Annie Byrne from Clean Coast spoke about bathroom behaviors. Wicklow is a coastal town, and it was afflicted by sewage-related litter. Okay?
Yeah.
The campaign found that 30% of people are flushing down things they should not, such as wipes and cotton balls, down into the toilet with detrimental effects on the wastewater network and on the environment. The goal of the campaign is to encourage people to always hashtag think before you flush. The Think Before You Flush campaign was set up as a result of finding sewage-related waste on the beaches, baby. So okay, and we find that 80% of marine litter originates from inland sources, which is like, what is 20% of people just dumping wet wipes off the side of their boats while they're out there?
Well,
styrofoam coolers.
Well, do you know what? Today, as I was driving through the Curlew Mountains, I did. Somebody threw a nappy just out the window of their car.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's people do things that you just don't expect.
People do things.
Yeah.
Okay, so something as simple as a wipe can travel from a flush toilet to the ocean and finally the beach, and possibly causing blockages and damage to marine life as it makes its journey. And it's also gross. We are delighted to partner with Irish Water, put a bin in your bathroom, and always hashtag think before you flush. And I want the listeners out there to search Twitter for hashtag think before you flush and see what the Twitter fam has done with that hashtag. Last year, Chad Holden, they removed thousands of sewer blockages across the country. The size and scale of the impact of flushing the wrong items down the toilet is incredible. An 8-foot blockage was removed from Ballerney wastewater pumping station by Wicklow County Council last year. It serves as a reminder of the impact of flushing the wrong thing down the toilet, Chad.
An 8-kilo.
Check the Twitter feed, because as of right now, I am going to send out a tweet of a picture of this 8-foot ball of wipes and poop.
Okay.
This has been the Southeast Island update. Thank you for tuning into Invest.
I hope they recycled it.
I think, you know, it's really grotesque. And I'll do my best to have Nina, the producer, tweet out this 8-foot ball of wet wipes and doo-dee and poo-poo.
Wet wipes. Did I tell you what happened I didn't tell you what happened to my apartment. There was a party.
Speaking of an 8-foot ball of shit.
Well, no, there was a party and they just literally threw condoms and wipes, you know, sex wipes
and
at the window.
At the window.
Yeah, it was just all over the roof. You know, it cost me €500 to have it cleaned up.
I'm worried about your accent. You sound like a French person speaking English.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about my roof. It's a very French roof.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is this your French place in?
Yeah.
Where is it? Marseille?
No, Toulouse.
In Toulouse. I'm sorry. I always get the two confused.
Yeah. Well.
Confused.
Is that your French accent?
No. I was just talking normal. I was speaking normally, Chad.
Okay, well,
we've
good
got a
luck
lot.
With that.
We've got a lot of show. You know, we have to talk about showers, Chad. We have to hear from my publisher. We have to call Andrea and hear her 90-second spiel. We have a guest. There's so much to get through.
My nephew did put my sister's phone down the toilet. He wanted to see if it would flush. It didn't.
Okay.
So my sister gave the phone to my father.
Okay. Yeah.
So now he doesn't realize he's using a phone that's been down the toilet.
I think the thing you don't realize is I'm trying to keep us on track
in
the segments.
Okay.
And that I'm a published author, Chad.
A published author. Oh, yeah. I always forget about that. I just can't. Well, does published, does that actually mean that anybody's read it?
You can hear the stats. You can read the stats. please read the stats. The publisher routinely. I think I listened to a little bit of this this voicemail as I you know put it onto the PC here to be able to play it.
Yeah,
and I think he mentioned sales numbers.
Sales numbers
in this one.
Okay,
that's right. So we're gonna hear right now from my wacky, quirky, nervous in the service publisher here on Unfixed. Thank you for tuning into the show. Hit us up on Twitter. It is at Unfixed Radio. You can send us an email at unfixedradio@mail.com or facebook.com/unfixedradio. Or if you just know me, you can just send me like a WhatsApp.
And
or Chad.
Yeah, WhatsApp or Instagram.
Chad, what is app? Let's hear from my publisher. What do you think?
I think we should let him speak.
I want to confirm consent anytime I do a segment with you. This entire show.
Oh, consent. Okay, yes. Play it.
Chad's on board. Ladies and gentlemen, my publisher here on the show.
Adam. This is your publisher, Adam. Did you ever have dreams, is what I wanted to talk, from the brain? Yeah, the mind is a strange guy. I just had a weird one, and in this one I was publishing when I suddenly received sales figures for my latest book. My eyes widened and the room darkened. Outside in the city, I heard rolling thunder and the call of a crow. But there it was in stark black and white. Adam T. Jensen, -1 books. So, what? Hang on, Adam. Wow, okay, here I am. Yeah, so I was wrong. I'm not currently calling you from my office phone and recounting last night's dream. After all, I'm in bed right now. Yeah, see, lately, Adam, I've been having false awakenings like this. I've been taking a lot of melatonin, so I just keep my eyes closed as much as possible. And when I have to go to the office, I have these special goggles. Anyway, Adam, listen. I do have early sales figures for our latest book, which, as you may remember, is called Book by Adam T. T.J. Adams Jensen. Adams is currently on suicide watch at Bellevue after trying to jump out my window here. But we have locks on those now, ever since the last one. Anyway, Adam, apparently we sold 822 books only and faced instant backlash on Twitter. I'm not panicking, because what they're saying is, who the hell is this T.J. Adams? Where's the Adam T. Jensen there? So is that maybe like, I mean, oh, that's good, right? I mean, in a weird way, aren't they saying that they love you, they miss you? I mean, I don't know. You know, I have a good feeling moving. I mean, it is what it is, okay? So what we're going to go with that. A new marketing campaign, courtesy of our new promo editor, guy that goes by the name of Heyman. Second printing, just 1,000 copies to create a feeling of scarcity. What are these things on my face? Goggles? For crying out loud, Adam. It happened again. Well, since I've apparently been sleep-talking this entire voicemail here from my Manhattan office, look at that. I'm apparently writing up the order now as we speak. Well, back to work. Hello, Adam. How you doing there?
To listen to your message again, press 1. To save it and move on.
Yo, it's my publisher. It is my publisher.
Yeah, I'm always shocked that he's not dead. But
he was buried under snow. He's been lit on fire. He's had a rough life.
Is that cancer he's dealing with as well?
What?
Is it with
his sleep deprivation, I think. Too much melatonin.
Melatonin, okay.
Yeah. Chad, we failed to name it at the beginning of the show, but like, there's a segment I think you might want to do.
Well,
it's very risky. It feels risky.
Because you want to call it farts.
No, I want to call it art school, but the F is silent. Silence.
Yeah, well, because there is a blog that I have, which I write, which
I think
is called.
That's where I got the joke.
Yeah. Doubt it'll work.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know, and I think that's really great. And you talk a little bit about doubt it'll work, like in the creative process, self doubt actually leads to better outcomes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, this evening we'll be talking about beer, but you can't make beer unless you have something you want to experience.
You were talking about those, like, you want to avoid failure. And so you have this thought in your head, this is going to be a disaster, I'm going to be humiliated, right? And that's a driving force sometimes to doing good work.
No.
I didn't read it.
it's exactly the opposite. You've got to skirt failure. You've got to drive straight into that failure, straight towards that wall to know you can come out the other side. And that's why, for me, that's what painting's about.
Skirt or court failure?
Skirt.
Skirt it. So like kind of if you were to like slingshot off the gravitation of a planet, if you're flying a spacecraft.
That's exactly it.
But the planet was called failure.
Yeah, exactly.
You accidentally fly directly into the sun after that, though.
Well, that's fine, as long as it makes a beautiful explosion.
Yeah. It's true. So do you want to talk a tiny bit about this project you're doing and then maybe give the listener some tips on how to be a better artist? Yes or no?
I think the safe bet is to go and talk about the previous show I saw just before Christmas.
Look, I'm going to play you in. Everything has to have theme music and it has to be a segment, Chad. We don't just blur topic to topic, okay?
Well, I think...
Are you ready to go?
I think so. Is it playing?
I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah, it is playing. Chad?
Thank you.
No hay excusa para cubrir al que abusa. Aquí llegó para molestarte esta intrusa. Todas las que mataste hoy son mi musa. Yo voy a aclararte esas ideas confusamente obtusas. ¿Qué importa si llevaba escote o blusa? El problema no es la ropa que usa. Que no eres el culpable, que yo soy una ilusa. Culpable es todo aquel que no acusa. Complicidad se llama este juego.
So, I'm going to talk about the last great show that I saw, which is Martin Kippenberger's retrospective in Bonn. Unfortunately, it's over. It finished on the 16th of February. So, Kippy, he is this mythical painter that came out of Germany, out of Krefeld in the 1970s, turning up in Berlin and then into Cologne, going to LA. And he's a failure of a painter, but this beautiful failure that just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And what he does in terms of painting, what he does in terms of his work, is that he just shows you what the process is. It's looking at the world around us and it's creating some kind of meaning out of it. The work in itself, what's happening on that canvas, is never great, but how that's put into play within the art market, within installations, is just is mind-blowing. His psycho buildings, which draw a comparison between secondary school
psycho buildings.
Yeah, psycho buildings.
Now I'm hooked. Well, that's good branding right there.
Well, he draws the parallel between, German state secondary schools, the, what's it called in America, Betty Davis Clinic?
That's a rehab thing.
Rehab thing. And then there's Stanheim prison where the, what are they called? The Bader-Meinhof were kept. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
So these three buildings are pulled together in this same series of paintings. And the only thing that is similar in the paintings in terms of representation is the kind of horizontal slit windows.
Uh-huh.
But the three buildings serve very different purposes.
Okay. You're right. Okay. Listen, I mean, you're describing these things that are terribly interesting. But like, you know, I'm not certain that the listeners can picture what you're talking about precisely.
Well, in terms then, this guy, he's doing these paintings. He's opening a club and an office in Berlin in the 80s. We'll wrap it up.
We'll just get to the point or something.
No,
I thought you were going to do art school in which you teach people how to draw better. Like, that's what you did a couple shows ago.
Did I? Okay, well, I
remember you taught them how to choke up on the pencil and write from the elbow, like.
But that's kind of what I do in workshops. This is something about looking at the world around you and making fun of it, and getting a better understanding of it. We'll put up a link. Can we link in an image? Put up an image of Martin Kippenberger?
Yeah. You can send that to Nina, the producer. She can then put it up on the Twitter feed. She's out there in the green room working her ass off. Okay. Do you have any tips on how to be a better artist? Like, just like the most basic. Don't skimp on paintbrushes. Like, buy good quality paintbrushes or like stay.
Just keep doing it. And when you feel that it doesn't work anymore, just stop and start again. That's the easiest thing to do.
Okay.
You know?
Right. Go for it. Like,
yeah.
But I
think people sometimes, they spend too long trying to make it look like you want it to look in your head.
Let the art reveal itself to you as you work on it.
You need to look at what you're doing and see what it is and accept it for what it is.
Yeah.
Hey, it's like having children.
That's actually a decent metaphor though, right?
Yeah.
For non-parents. We're like, yeah, it's all fine. No.
You've got to accept them for what they are, each painting.
It's cool. All right, yeah. Well, thank you for tuning into Unfixed. That was Art School with the silent F, and good job, Chad. I learned something about, what's it called, psycho buildings?
Yeah, psycho
buildings.
That's
wicked. I like that a lot. And it was little window slits, like at a 45 degree angle. We have to call Andrea. We have to call her. She's standing by. So we're going to give her a quick ring, and so we're going to call Andrea, and she's going to give us 90 seconds, and here we go.
Hello?
Andrea Lorien. Hi, this is Adam from Unfixed. How are you?
Hey, Adam. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yeah, we're here doing the show, and you know, the guest tonight is Greg Dunn from Priory Brewing. He makes the beer.
Whoa, I love beer.
I do as well. Most people do love the beer. We're here with Chad tonight. Chad's co-hosting.
Hey, Chad. How are you?
Hey, Andrea. Great to hear your voice.
Okay, so we're here to do 90 Seconds with Andrea Lorien, where you, Andrea Lorien, you give us 90 seconds of mind business on a given topic. And tonight's topic, as we agreed upon earlier, is Jeopardy, the television show Jeopardy. You have some thoughts on the matter, yeah?
Yes, I do.
Super. So, okay, we'll give you 90 seconds, and then we'll play you in 90 seconds, and then we'll cut it off, and we'll talk to you sometime soon, yes?
Yeah.
Sounds good. All right, and okay.
Okay, here's the thing about Jeopardy. It's kind of the only true love of my life. I have been watching since I was a little kid, my parents, and now I watch it myself. And it's this trivia game. It's on every night at 7. It's super dependable, 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday. You always know Jeopardy's going to be there for you. And you know that Alex Trebek is going to be there. Alex Trebek's been hosting it since, like, the 70s, a.k.a. forever in TV time. And he's just this super dependable. He's got this – he's kind of like this – like the study hall monitor who wants you to actually do your homework, you know? Like, he's got this, like, demeanor about him. And the thing about Alex is right now he has pancreatic cancer, and we're all very worried about him, but it seems like he's getting better. Like, he has a new wig right now. He's looking really good. We're all pulling for him. You never know. Things could turn around. But anyway, so I always tune in because I am actually really good at – I'm pretty good at trivia. I would say I'm definitely, like, I get A's in pop culture, A's in music and TV and books. I get A in American history for sure. I would say I get like a B plus in like science-y stuff. I definitely fail geography. I like don't know where anything is in the world ever. I'm lucky I know where I am right now. So if I would ever go on the show, which is my true dream in this life, I would have to bone up on geography. I'd have to like get some maps. I'd have to study them. I'd have to really like know where things are. Learn what capitals are which, because I get those mixed up a lot. But I think I would actually kind of kill it, you know? And I think the real secret that no one talks about on Jeopardy is that when you get double Jeopardy, you got to go all in.
That's it. Chad, it's done.
Oh, that was... it's...
It's 90 seconds and then we're out.
I'm just still trying to get over that her dream in life is to be on Jeopardy.
In this life, I think she said. That's my dream life. In this life.
Okay, yeah.
She's like a Hindu with a dream.
Well, no, that changes everything, yeah. Kind if you've got multiple chances at life, yeah, okay.
My dream this life. Yeah, Andrea Lorien, thank you so much for doing 90 seconds to Andrea Lorien. Yeah, we all love Alex Trebek. I feel like if we lose Jeopardy, we're going to lose a lot more than just a TV show. Chad's never seen it. That shocks me.
Well, you know, I've seen it in films, but I've never actually watched Jeopardy.
We're going to jump into shower talk here in just a second. Chad, you don't like beer. You still don't like beer. Have you started liking beer in the past half hour for no good reason other than I just want you to?
No, I've started thinking about cooking with beer. And I think that the beer, the homebrew that Emma made, maybe that could work in a cake.
Right, Emma. Emma is going to be the guest on shower talk. Chad, around here.
Beer is for breakfast around here. Drink or be gone.
You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, I do.
So we're going to get
in shower talk, is it going to be a beer? Shower talk?
Yeah, we're actually. I think we have the topic being shower beer with Maria of all people. Hi, Maria, okay. If you're listening. And now we're going to shift to the Emmett. Now look, we're gonna get into the shower talk. We're gonna turn on the hot soapy water. We're gonna see what happens. Ooh. We're gonna take off our clothes and get sudsy,
steamy.
Ladies and gentlemen, shower talk here on Unfixed. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Shower Talk, the spinoff podcast from Unfixed Radio. I am Adam Jensen. I'm top down Adam Jensen because that's how I shower. I start at the top. I suds my hair up and let the dirty water kind of run down me, because you would only, because if you start at the bottom then you go up, then the dirty water is running down and recontaminates you, Chad.
Yeah,
I'm here with Chad. Chad, we still don't have a shower talk nickname for you, buddy.
I need a shower talk nickname.
Yeah. Well, Toby Hallam was a crotch first, Toby Hallam, because that's how he starts, and like a spider web, he works from the inside out.
Okay, I suppose that I do start with my left armpit.
Yeah. It's new. Left armpit. Chad Tibney here on Shower Talk. All right, so we have a special guest here on Shower Talk today, a aficionado of beer, a home brewer, and a woman who knows about her things about beer and about drinking beer in the shower. Ladies and gentlemen, Emma is here with us. Emma, say hi to the audience.
How are yous? Especially Maria O'Brien, because like...
Yeah, you're following in her footsteps.
I know. Like, it's a big deal. She's got it. I also didn't tell her I was going to be on here, so I think she's screaming in her apartment.
She's feeling... Yeah. She's smashing her phone against the wall, saying how... Yeah, because this was her topic. This was her idea. So, there you go.
Yeah, it's all come full circle for her here now.
I would imagine. Yeah. So, I mean, it's rare that we revisit a topic, but look, we've got a brewer on again.
Yeah.
We've got Emma here. Emma, you're a home brewer.
Yeah.
And so you actually brought something with you this evening.
I did, yeah.
And this is something you're going to enter in a home brewer competition. Is that right?
Yeah, like...
What are we looking at right now? It's just foggy. It looks like, well...
Is that maybe shower water?
I mean, it looks like shower water and beer mixed together. It looks like the shit that you wouldn't want to serve against Heineken. But
Heineken's crystal clear, but it tastes like crap. And this doesn't look amazing, but
honestly,
it's
a new style. Yeah, I guess.
What would you call this? How would you define it?
So it's like, I don't know. It was like coined by like Vermont or whatever, like where you make Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah,
they made this new kind of like style of IPA that like holds the yeast and hops in suspension, so it kind of gives this real weird taste in your mouth. It kind of looks like it's not suspended. It's supposed to be suspended, but it kind of intensifies the hops. Uh-huh. So anyway, yeah, it's just, I don't know, real...
What's the term? It's called a Vermont suspension IPA.
So it's made in the state of New England, so it's called New England IPA. So
it's the state of New England.
Yeah, in America.
Yeah,
a place you might know.
I'm aware of New England.
Is it state? No,
it's a region.
It's a region, whatever.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts.
What's Leinster?
It's a county.
It's a province.
Touché.
Go into the problems of the provinces. They are the states in Canada, you know. So
No, I'm not trying to get shit wrong in America. Don't worry. just nuances of naming.
Emma, you went to the United States only to like drink delicious beer and kind of went on a beer tour in a way. Beer making hotbeds.
I didn't go to this region because America is really fond of their beer regions. I think next time up north, but we were kind of California and Chicago. So
who's the we?
Myself and Dara, maker of the beer, and Stuart Duffy couldn't arrive, but was on the continent at the same time. Yeah. The three of us make it together.
Stewie chimed in earlier asking who I preferred in the American Democratic primary. So weren't you listening on the green room? Or are you too busy jawboning?
Apache just arrived, and we were distracted. Oh, okay. So, come on.
You had pizza.
Cultural appropriation just arrived.
And so you answered two questions.
Okay, here on Shower Talk, we like to think about talking about what it means to shower. And Emma, we were here to talk about drinking beer in the shower. So, like, what do you think is the ideal time to shower beer? Is it all showers, beer showers?
Well, I don't like to shoehorn beer into the shower scenario.
Diminishing.
Like, but in general, alcohol in a shower... is great.
Okay. And you it just so happens.
How do you drink it so you don't get water in it?
This is the nuance, right? So this is where I wanted to start, because the can of a beer necessitates like that you don't get water into it.
If you had
a glass of wine, that would not work, Chad.
No.
Probably not.
It's not there.
Glass of whiskey, not going to work.
You would never take a pint.
This is why I take baths.
A shower can. And this is why beer perfectly comes into this scenario where it's a cold beer,
crisp in a can.
And then,
a counterpoint, you know, the hot shower can take the, you know, the heat energy can absorb directly into that can through that tiny thin aluminum wall. What about bottles as a better insulator?
Yeah, or a cold shower.
If you need. Sacrifice the shower.
You know. I have to say, the only thing I've experimented with is water quantity in my beer at the end of the shower. Uh-huh. I haven't really quantified temperature.
Okay, so you don't mind if it gets a little warm.
I have to say, there is an essence of the aluminium can, you know, just holding the coldness a little bit longer. Uh-huh. And you do realize, right, so you've ever had a great shower and you're like, oh, I'm gonna
you're a trained physicist. Yeah,
yeah.
Like, so wouldn't, but isn't glass a better insulator than a thin layer of aluminium?
But maybe is there that moment when you've finished your shower, you finish the can and you just throw it on the bottom of the shower?
Yeah, you pour it all over yourself.
A producer is just cringing in the background there.
She can get in here all she wants. She's allowed to come in. Well, she's the Baba Booey of our first.
It just seems to heat up faster. It's a better head. Because of the air not being a good insulator, just aluminium seems to last a little bit longer than glass.
Okay.
It seems to cool down a little bit more as well and faster. So if you need like a quick shower beer,
right,
you'd be better off with the can.
Is this also have to do with quantity? You know, you need more. You know,
yeah,
you
that's the thing for the length of
you
shower.
You can't have two bottles of beer, but one can
is really
perfect.
Just one, is it not, Emma? Like, you speak from experience, it's always just the one, right?
And it is just the one.
If you get out of the shower to get another beer, like, something, you're doing it wrong.
I would say that you're not doing it wrong, but I would say you have a
drinking problem.
Maybe need to look some other issues.
Yeah, you're not showering beer with a beer. You're drinking.
You're not doing the showering
the
beer wrong, but you're just
in the bathroom.
What about any shower related stories with beer bottles flying out of the shower? Have you injured any people with them?
Why would you be throwing things? What do you think? Every beer drinker is just them, like, you know.
Well, this is why I'm presuming she's using aluminum cans, because
hurt less. You think my original, like, it's like I have an aggressive alcohol problem and just like throwing stuff out of the shower.
You are drinking beers in a shower.
Yeah. Yes, we are drinking beers in a shower.
And you're aware of the problem of having two beers in a shower.
It's a pre-gaming thing, all right? So you're going to go out for the night. You're not really in the mood to go, okay, I'm speaking for myself, I suppose. But like, I don't really feel like going out. I'm like, okay, but I'll take a shower. I got to, you know, it's a Saturday. We're going to have plans. You know, I'd rather just kind of lay here. I know I'll have fun once I get there, but you know, I have to get some motivation going. So I'm going to get in the shower.
Yeah.
Grab a bottle of Pilsner Urquell or something and just crack that baby open and
see that's like burger. That's not my most enjoyable. So I actually had to think about this before I came along. My most enjoyable experiences with shower beers, the most enjoyable was holiday experiences, because you know when you're on holidays
in the hotel, and it's also a strange shower, which is another episode of shower
and you're
talk,
trying
showering
to,
in the strange.
Yeah, change the location.
Lots of
but you're also
beer.
Trying to like explore the locations of freedom that you can't do when you're working 9 to 5 or whatever you're working in general.
Yeah. Or the locations of freedom.
And you're just like,
what
about if I just do a shower beer? Two shower beers. Okay. And, like, that's my... No, trying to pre-drink ahead of a hangover, that's like must do.
Right.
Holiday shower beers. Yeah.
Okay.
That's
you,
a...
You try to mute the effects of your hangover. Yeah.
The other thing is the shower length. So do you wait until you've finished your beer before you end your shower? Or can your shower end and you still have your beer? Or do you have
generally, you're done with the beer before the shower's over. Typically, or you can leave with, you know, if you leave with more than 20%, you really weren't paying attention. You were too busy scrubbing or shaving your bikini area or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I like the way that Adam, like, I thought I was the expert in the subject, but apparently Adam is like.
I do this. I do this on the reg.
Okay.
All right. Closing thoughts on the notion of shower beers. What's the best kind of shower beer to have? Is it a Pilsner? Is it something really hoppy, like, you know, a double IPA, or something really rich, like a porter or a stout? What do you think? Like, what goes best with hot water, suds, fruity shower gels? What kind of beer complements that experience the best?
We didn't talk about that.
I don't think you can broach into the roast and malt area at all. Okay. And I don't think you can broach above 4%.
Okay. So really, so a session.
And we should be.
Session lager. Amber at a Porsche, red ale at a Porsche.
Yeah, okay. APV is negligible, but I think anything too, like, something too much, too rich, like a very heavy red ale.
Yeah, because you need to be able to finish in about 5 minutes after, right? As we discussed.
Okay. Come out with the towel wrapped around your head, and the other one wrapped around just above your nipples, holding the champagne flute full of
yeah.
MGD. Miller Genuine Draft.
Yeah. But yeah.
Or not. That's a shower bath.
That's a different segment.
It is. Emma, thanks so much for being a guest on Shower Talk.
No worries.
Yeah, it's been great. And okay, back out to your Apache.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for being on the show, Emma. And Shower Talk out. May you never run out of hot water.
All right. Bye.
Wow. You know, Chad, the water's just dripping off my body right now.
Wow.
Okay, we're going to get to our guests here on the show. We have Greg Dunn coming in just a second. He's representing Priory Brewing.
So sing while you have time. Let the sun shine down from above. And fill you with songs of love.
Now I can hear the Father Ted theme. There it is. I didn't realize there was a whole song. There's a whole song there, Chad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There it is. You know, the plane's going to crash into the house on Craggy Island now. Somewhere in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what it
pushes
is.
Pushes Father Jack out of the
living,
way.
Living out in the west of Ireland, you know.
Oh, I know. We went to the house once upon a time. It's down there, like, the Hook Peninsula or some shit. Where Claire, I can't remember. You're on a road trip, say the Father Ted house is nearby. You go and take a pic. There's a super friendly dog that lives on the premises that comes up and greets you.
Okay.
You think he's going to chew your hand off, but no, he's just like, did you bring me Doritos? Do you have, like, combos?
They do still have it on TV, and I just can't believe that was
so long
ago.
It's on the four player chat. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, we have Greg Dunn with us. Greg Dunn, thank you for coming in. Thank you for coming in and being a part of the show. God damn it! And you brought a couple beers, and that's spectacular too. It's always welcome.
He's going to teach us a bit about brewing.
Indeed, we're gonna discuss brewing. We are going to talk about all things fermented. Okay. So, all right, Greg, thank you so much for being a part of the show. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, guys. I suppose the main reason I'm here really is for the beer rather than the learning
process. Not the crack. We're not here. Are you here for the beer or the crack? I'm here for the beer, baby.
And you're coming from Tala?
Yeah. Just up the road, a stone throw away, you know?
Okay.
Can you hear me okay?
If you could just lean into your mic a little bit.
Yeah, no worries.
Like eat the microphone.
Yeah, no worries.
And you
no
can
worries.
Also adjust it. It's on a scissor arm, so like you can pull it up to your mouth.
There we go.
You know, you know what I'm talking about. Late on a Friday night.
Sure, this will do. This will do, I'm sure, right?
Grab it and pull it up to your mouth. You know,
I used to work in IT.
Indeed. Indeed. So, look, all right. Greg, thank you so much for coming in, being part of the show. You are a member of the Priory Brewing team, like the Priory Brewing family, really, I think. You know, it's kind of a close-knit thing. The master brewer himself.
I wouldn't go that far. Seb would be the master brewer. Uh-huh. Seb's the head brewer.
Polish dude, is it?
Yeah, I like to say he's more... He's a Polish person with a more Tala accent than me. Uh-huh. So when you listen to the two of us, I sound so neutral. But right. Seb's like, all right, mate, what's the story?
Yeah. I don't have time.
Yeah, exactly.
And he follows Shamrock Rovers.
Well, we all kind of live in such close proximity to the to the stadium, so it's kind of a
fun
natural
way to play a Sunday. Like.
Yeah.
Right.
As well, they sell our beer, so that helps.
Yeah. Okay,
okay, guys.
You got to restock.
Priory Brewing. It is a brewery. It's out in Tala.
Yep.
It's on a place called, it's called the Priory. It's the site. It's like been there since what? Like there's some insane year.
Well,
16 something. What's the deal? What's the year? Do you know it?
Well, see, that's why we're named Priory, but we're actually not located on the same site as the Priory. So basically, it boils down to the fact that there hasn't been a brewery in Tala Village since the Archbishop was in the Priory itself.
And he lived on, the royals.
Exactly, he had a summer garden there.
Yeah.
And he had a hop garden as well,
great.
And he used to brew his beer there. And but that was over 250 years ago.
Okay. So like everything in Ireland, this is a religious story, you know?
Well, yeah.
It's just keeping the faith alive.
That's it. In a way. And
it's
actually
also about kicking English people out of places, right?
Well, come here, let me tell you a funny story, actually, right? As to how, so the beer name came before the brewery name, right?
Okay.
So we actually are registered as Daughter Valley Brewing, right?
Yeah.
But the beer name, you mean, and that was that the what
Original
was the beer
Sin.
Name? Original Sin original was the name Sin, of
yeah.
the beer.
Yeah, exactly.
Before that's you guys name. Called yourself Priory Brewing.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
So we registered ourselves as Daughter Valley Brewing because Partis is the company that set up Priory Brewing. They have an enterprise center right beside Daughter Valley.
Okay.
So they named themselves Daughter Valley Brewing.
Yeah.
But what actually happened was we done a few small batches to find out what beer we wanted, and we came up with what is now called Original Sin.
Yeah.
But then
it's
when we dope. Went...
I just like to chime in and say it's very, very tasty. It's good. Very, very good. It's your flagship beer, right?
It is. It certainly is, yeah.
Original Sin.
Yeah, it's won a gold medal at Alltech, so it's an award-winning beer.
There's people that are ignorant to the... As far as I understand the Catholic faith, that means you're born with the sin of Adam's like blood on your hands, and you need to be dunked in water so that you can be forgiven, and if you don't, you go to hell, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it boils down
just
to...
Just chiming in and checking in.
Yeah, no, you're right, you're right. And it's a result of Adam eating the apple, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
So therefore, we're all born with original sin.
Yes.
So that's kind of, that leads into
the
how
apple
came,
of knowledge.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we get, there's no ignorance.
but that leads into how we came up with the name of the beer, right? So we've done the small batches, decided, right, we're happy with that. So we went to do our first large scale 1,000 liters batch, and we ruined it, right? It was awful.
What happened? What went wrong?
I won't go into that much, right? But we had a fermenting.
Was it contaminated? Or?
Well, it was fermenting away. And we thought, great, this is going well. And then we tasted it. And we're like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
So you're not sure. Just something bad.
Yeah, exactly. So we kind of had to, like, we couldn't sell it. We weren't happy enough to sell it.
Could you drink it?
Give it to horses? Could we insulate houses with it?
Right.
Well, actually, it's like without going into too much detail, revenue have to witness you destroying the beer, right? But other than that,
because the guy from revenue is going, he's going to stand there that whole time.
Yeah, maybe they could unblock the toilet stand in Wicklow.
but revenue were witnessing us destroying the beer, essentially.
Yeah.
And John, the CEO of Partis, who came up with the brewery. He was just kind of standing there cursing every name under the sun or whatever, you know, like pretty disappointed that they got to that stage, you know. So he's just like, oh, forgive us our sins.
Wow.
And then he was like, light bulb moment. He was like, wait a second.
Okay.
He was like, this is our original sin. But it led from there, and we kind of started to sit down to the drawing board and kind of go, right, this, we're onto something here.
Because things are going much, much better these days. I mean, you're producing a high quality, you know, commercial product. Day in, day out, out of Priory Brewery.
Yeah, well, the way we see it in the brewery is every time we come up with a new beer, we need to make sure we're all happy with it.
Yeah.
So we, like I said...
Meaning you guys drink all the time. Is that basically what you're telling me? Like, there's a new beer we need to make sure you're happy with. And you're like, uh-huh, uh-huh. Like, are you like 6 pint in happy? Or like, are you 7 and 8 pint in happy?
When was the last time you made a sober decision?
Well... I watched a documentary recently. It was, well, I don't know. Anyways, but we call it quality assurance nowadays.
Okay, we call it quality assurance.
No, it's my dream job, like at a distillery, to be the quality assurance.
There's a bar in Brussels called I'm at Work.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just the name of the bar.
Oh, right,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right, right. Hey, that's, you know, good
Sounds
for him.
Good, I like that, yeah.
So, and as we were saying, like, you got your start naming the beer before you named the brewery.
Yeah, it was a bit of a happy accident, but we kind of realized we're onto something with the name of the beer first
Indeed,
of all.
Indeed, it's a great name.
Yeah. But
and
then,
so you've got a whole line kind of named after the Sin range, right?
Yeah, exactly, because, and again, it boils down to the name of the first beer, Original Sin, and that led us to start thinking about, right, where can we go with this?
Like, Polish people are really Catholic, too, as well as Irish people.
Yeah, but as well, like, it's kind of like... We're not taking ourselves serious with the Catholic thing, you know?
I no shit. It's a beer. It's naming, yeah, naming
so
a beer.
You're Irish Catholic, I think.
And like we kind of had this joke, like question in the brewery, which was, who here hasn't been an altar boy? We've all been altar boys, you know?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And like, but nobody was really an altar boy because we were serious about it. We were all altar boys just to get out of school, you know?
Yeah.
It's like Boy Scouts, right?
Yeah.
I want to know, what's your non-alcoholic beer called?
Ah, we haven't gotten that far yet.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah.
We did a beer called Holy Smoke.
Yeah.
So that one, so Seb being Polish, he suggested a beer, it was a Grzyska. Named after a region pole in the, and it's a smoky beer.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
is it like peat smoked?
Yeah, exactly. Well, oat smoked, actually.
Oat, wow.
It was gorgeous.
Well, climate change, who gives a damn? Smoke the beer.
That's the linchpin of climate change. A little bit of burning something to give beer a flavor. That's not industry, Chad. Not transportation.
Bad. Exactly, no.
Well, see, the thing is, we've done a small batch of that just to test the market, but we never went ahead with it. Now, I absolutely love the beer.
I'm intrigued. I'm in. So if it makes any difference whether or not you go ahead, you've got my commitment.
Well, we had a beer festival last year. I think it was Dunleary Beer Fest. And it was one of those kind of a conversation starter. You'd have people coming over going, taste this bloody beer. You know, it tastes like a rasher sandwich.
You know? Is that a good selling point?
Yeah, that's a thumbs up.
This is the type of beer you want to get when you're watching Shamrock Rovers play, you know?
To sum it up, one guy there that loved the beer, he kept coming over to us and he was like, again, I'm not trying to promote drinking in the mornings or whatever, you know, but he came over and he was like saying to his friends, he's like, imagine you're hungover the next morning, you want a rasher sandwich, but you can have a rasher sandwich and a beer at the same time with this.
It's complimentary.
This is marketing is just not a good idea in Ireland. You know, where are we going? That's amoral.
Yeah, in terms of marketing, you know, craft beer these days, it's kind of a weird mix of marketing and great beer. Like, which, Greg, do you think is most important, marketing or the quality?
Marketing, in my opinion, because you can have a great beer if no one hears about it. Like, if a tree falls in the wood and no one hears it, did the tree really fall? That type of question.
And just from personal experience, like, I would also back that up and say, like, you know, when I'm standing in O'Brien's, for example, and looking at the wall of beers, you know, I judge it based on can and the name of it, the APV and kind of a description, the label, the way they describe it on the label.
Yeah.
More so than what I actually, you know, the second purchase, I will say, though, is based on the quality. So, like, I buy it for the first chance based on maybe the label, maybe the look, the name, perhaps. And then later on, I'll only buy it again if it was actually good. So, you know, you get a second date if you're any good. But you can look great, but, you know, you take them home, and then it's garbage. You don't call them again.
Yeah, like I was saying a few minutes ago, for us in the brewery, we won't release a beer unless we're all happy with it. But at the same time, like, it needs to sell. So, for example, we came out with another beer recently. It was a pale ale.
I think we're talking about that, yeah.
Yeah, we called it Frockin' Hell.
Yes, I read about this.
Yeah, Frockin' Hell. So we were just...
You only read about
it. I read about it on the website, I think.
Yeah, it was a seasonal beer. We'll probably do it again this year.
No, this is an Irish word. Mm-hmm. And it means the berries of the foot that are gathered from the foothills around Tala. Is that right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's a kind of... It was not alembic, but like it was... You take the beer and it was a bit fruity, was it?
It's essentially the first berry to ripen.
The spring.
Yeah. Okay. Well, August...
What is it in Irish? Do you remember?
What the name of the berry?
The berry, yes.
That's a frockin. So,
but you spell it F-R-O-C-K-I-N.
Yeah, it depends who you ask. There's a few ways to spell it, but it's also called a bilberry.
It depends on your politics.
Like, we were doing... there used to be a festival called the Frockin Festival, which we called our beer the easy way to spell it, which was F-R-O-C-K-E-N.
Well, it's just, you know, laypersons.
Yeah, exactly. But
everybody gets that.
Does Frey call?
A bunch of letters that I can't pronounce. There's a B in there for some reason. I can't say it.
Well, it's F-R-A-U... Again, I could be wrong here, but F-R-A-U-G-H-A-I-N, I think it is.
Frockin.
Yeah, exactly.
Frockin. Yeah, okay.
Now, we have a whole book on Frockins in the brewery.
Cool.
So I should remember how to
Any
spell it.
Any brewery does have that book.
But the name, like... See, there used to be a Frockin festival donkeys years ago. Uh-huh. And in
Tala.
In Tala and also surrounding areas too.
In Blessington?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So like where we got the berries from was Glenishmole, which is the foothills of Tala, you know?
Okay. That's really cool. I think that's great. And like as I understand it, was the beer was incorporating like the first fruit of spring from the surrounding area into a beer, and you didn't release it though.
We did actually. No, it was Holy Smoke we didn't release.
I see, I'm sorry.
But Frockin' Hell we released.
My apologies.
No, you're kind of onto something there, right?
Did you bring any?
Well, no, we're all sold out now. So basically,
limited release, man. Illusion of scarcity. That is a marketing technique.
But see, this is why we're doing the beer in a way, right? It's kind of John's passion beer.
I'm sorry, who's John?
John again is the CEO of Partis, who then came up with the idea of making the brewery Priory Brewing.
Slower down for me. So you've got your head brewer right.
Sure, Seb.
Yeah.
Uh huh. And then this is fella John. What is his title and how does and also this enterprise concept is not necessarily, you know.
Is it a cooperative? That's what I was wondering actually.
These are kind of along the right line, so I guess I'll explain it a bit better.
Yeah.
So So John is the CEO of Partus. Partus is a social enterprise in Tala Village. It was set up in the late 80s, 1980s. Set up when...
Can you, to the best of your abilities, just define to me what social enterprise means?
Sure. Just now, this is a topic like of a lot of debate. Yeah. But the way we define it for ourselves is, well, at least for Partus, we want to support, train, and help budding entrepreneurs create their own business. Right. So it boils back to back in the 80s, I was there saying that there was a lot of job losses in Tala. Yeah. We had two big companies, I can't remember the name of the tele...
Because they're closed and no one
Well, we took over the building, so I should remember their name, right? Yeah.
I'm sitting at their desk.
Yeah. And the other one was Hewlett Packard, right?
Yeah,
And they both employed hundreds of people, right? Yeah. But so there's a lot of people like unemployed and just felt like they couldn't get a job anywhere. So Partus were like, well, you can make your own jobs.
Yeah.
But also, we can train you to get your own jobs. So it was originally called Get Tala Working.
Right. Yeah.
So the whole idea of Get Tala Working was to help people, first of all, make their own employment.
Yeah.
But also train them so that they can become employed in other businesses that they weren't previously working at. For example, Hewlett Packard, if I remember correctly, my dad used to work there, but then... They were like a car manufacturer, so they'd be like making wheels and bits for cars. Anyways, so if that's gone, like you can't think of another company in Ireland that makes cars at the moment.
No.
Exactly. So they had to retrain a lot of these people into other industries, but also help them make their own businesses.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyways, Get Tala Working eventually became Partus, but the whole idea is to, first of all, get people trained to get a job, but help people start their own businesses.
Yeah.
So how Partus can achieve that is a few ways. First of all, they have four enterprise centers around Tala.
Yeah.
There's where I'm based in Prairie Ruin is the Tala Enterprise Center.
Yeah.
There is one in Ballbrook, which is being remodeled at the moment. It's going to go kind of along the same line as the whole WeWork thing, which is shared office spaces.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's got a great reputation.
Wait, and they'll have beer on tap as well?
Yeah, Prairie.
Okay. now WeWork may like, you know, come back in Ireland with that on, you know, at the front desk.
I do, because I was actually, we were looking at setting up studios in Brussels there recently, and one of the groups that wanted to be involved in the whole studio project was a brewery, and we were interested in that because breweries, they heat. Right. And one of the big problems with studio space is heating.
Okay. It all makes sense, man.
What's the Armitage? Is that a brewery in Brussels? A microbrewery?
Oh, I can't answer
that word means something to me, but it's not fully computing. I'm sorry.
Well, it's a friend of mine has a... He has his photographic studio above a brewery, and the nicest...
He doesn't have to pay for heating, is your point.
Well, the nicest part of his studio is just above the vats because that's where it gets heated.
Yeah, indeed. So basically, free ride, freeloader,
they
look, it's energy's conservation. Jeff.
They mutually make each other cooler. That's the thing. You know?
That's actually very well put.
Yeah,
is that on their website? We mutually make each other cooler. I like that. Greg, question from the audience: canning versus bottling, is the preference cost or is it taste? What do you prefer?
What are the factors preference involved? For us, or preference for the industry? Really?
We're talking to Greg right now.
So
preference, is it cost or taste for you?
Neither. Well, no, it boils down to cost, really. It does boil down to cost.
Because aluminum, aluminium, the price will fluctuate violently, as I understand it. Aluminium costs, you know...
Not even that. It's the initial cost. Like, for us...
buying the metal.
Machinery to buy.
The machinery, exactly. So, like, for us, the way we set up as a brewery was... when we were starting the brewery, we went around, had a look at a lot of other breweries around Ireland, seeing what each other breweries had as their
setup. Do you
know
the Woodkey folks?
Yeah. And actually, I was listening to that episode there.
You did your research. I love it.
Yeah, well,
prep.
I love the beer as well. It's good stuff. Yeah. It was a great episode.
I've got a can. It's missing, but I do have it.
Okay, because I believe they're not
full
anymore.
It's not full. I have the original.
Okay.
The Raven Rye and the original, the red with the... there's a little guy running with keys in his hand.
I can picture it. Picture it.
Did they wind down? No, yeah, the Pilgrim. That's it. Pilgrim Irish. That's it.
Yeah.
Did they stop for the time being?
See, I was hoping you'd be able to answer that question because I loved their
beer.
You
can send a tweet at our buddies because we had them on the show earlier and it was a great show, and then, you know, it was great beer, a good line of beer. They had a rye, they had the red, and I think they had either a Weizen or a lager, I can't recall, but That'd be a shame if Woodkey claimed, because they had that whole great branding with the, those tokens that were found in the, like, you know, the people would get paid, the workers would get paid with beer tokens that they could, you know, give to the tavern owners. And that was kind of similar to what you're describing in terms of the enterprise idea, in terms of social wealth.
Yeah, and it's probably another reason why I like them, because we want to kind of go with the whole scrappy upstarts idea as well, you know.
You guys could merge, baby. We're gonna get you guys in touch.
And what kind of, like, where's the beer being distributed to? Is it, like, available?
The list is long, Chad. Like, the Priory is punching well above its weight in terms of size.
Well, but are we talking about Dublin? Are we talking about Leinster? Are we talking about Ireland here?
Leinster. Do you have a hard time accepting praise, Greg?
No, it's not that, actually. It's like, We kind of, every now and again, we start to think, like, we want to be a Talibur true and true, you know?
Sure.
So every now and again, we'd be like, right, let's get into as many places in Tala. But then every now and again, like, for example, O'Brien. See,
that's kind of cool, though.
I think, Chad, you were kind of onto something there a second ago. Like, we were never outside of Dublin except for Kildare.
Yeah.
Up until we got
Kildare. Kildare is Dublin. What's the face?
It's the suburbs, yeah.
Yeah. So we never really got outside of Dublin until O'Brien's took us on there recently.
Okay.
So the minute O'Brien's took us on, we were delighted because that got us all around Ireland.
Yeah.
And is that big?
For us, it's big because, okay. Like, again, for us, we self-distribute.
Yeah.
So that means if I'm selling a keg to a pub, I'm also delivering that keg to that pub. Yeah. So therefore, first of all, I'm making that beer.
Yeah.
Pint, making sure the lines are clean.
Exactly. And then driving to Kerry, for example, to deliver that beer, that's all me.
Hey, Chad, have you ever heard of Centra?
A Centra?
Yeah, O'Brien's. Have you heard of Nextdoor, Malloy's? You know, they're heavy hitters, man. They're out there. Yeah. Londis, Kerry. And a place called, and you'll love this, Chad, Juice de Vina Wine Merchants.
Sorry, is Chad a Fresh or a Marks and Spencer purchaser? Is that what you're
No,
he's a Fresco.
Well, I can tell you, do you know what? In Enniscrone,
of Super Value?
Do you know what the shop in Enniscrone is called?
Tell me.
The Checkpoint.
That's fun.
Yeah.
You need to shop in Dominic's. That's where you need to shop. My dad also likes to call it Stale or Stolen.
Those are your two options. Right, I noticed you were in Token in Dublin, Dublin 7 in Smithfield. We had Token lads on the show way back when they first.
Place. I don't know.
We should go sometime. And you know, there's all sorts of pubs all over the Dublin area. Doyle's, Peachtree, PMAX, Shamrock Rovers Football Club. Holy shit, Chad! Yeah. You were onto something.
Yeah.
Yep. The Temple Oak Tennis Club. It's posh.
Yep.
Terran Euro Rugby Club.
Indeed. The Hill. Holy God! In Ranelagh. Come on, you're all over the place.
Yeah. But like I was saying a minute ago, we've kind of started to recently just kind of focus a little bit more on Tala, because John mentioned earlier the brainchild there. He kind of wanted to be a case that you can go to Tala and get the local beer, drink with the locals, that kind of idea. So we're putting a lot of effort into that at the moment.
Yeah, and that's a strategy.
What about, like, with I'm just thinking about the off the top of my head, the kind of German way that for events you rent the beer and you pay for what you consume because you can get it in bottles. Is that something that's possible in Tala?
Rent the beer?
I don't know what he's talking about. Like, for example, like, we had O'Hara's at my wedding, for example, and we had the Irish Red and we had the Helles Lager on tap. And then they came and they kind of, like, weighed the kegs and we only paid for what we used and it was keg rental fee, but other than that.
Yeah, so there's a few breweries.
Germany, man. This is Tala and Germany, and they're effectively like, you know, East and West.
No, but you can do that in fairness.
You know, because you're talking about in Berlin, we have it for the bottles where you basically, you pay for how many ever bottles you consume at the end.
Right.
And once you return 50, all the bottles, because then it's not that expensive.
Yeah.
And if you're only doing it in a very local area, distribution is fine, you know? It's not too expensive.
Yeah. No, I hear where you're going, but we don't do that. There is a brewery in Dublin. There's only one brewery I know of in Dublin that does that. The name, I'm struggling to think of the name right now, but they have a beer called P45, the P60 and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
They're a very, very centralised brewery in Dublin City Centre. I'll get back to you when I remember the name.
It's all right for me. I know where I get my wine from.
So you won't be going for a Dutch gold anytime soon then?
Oh yeah, God, you're bringing me back to many a moon ago.
You've drank Dutch gold, Chad?
No, I've handled the can.
Okay. In disgust?
I've smelt it and I thought, yeah, no, not my thing. So what I do want to know, did you have a chance to think about any recipes? What can I cook with what you make?
What can you cook with what I make?
Yeah.
I drink beer. I don't cook with beer. Yeah,
well if you want to, well, in Ireland, what have we got? We've got the Guinness stew. And then,
okay, yeah,
and
yeah.
How are we gonna cook a rabbit here?
Yeah, no, I hear.
Red wine. I mean, we just had some lamb with some red wine.
Yeah, lamb's good with red wine, but with rabbit needs something a bit more flavor to it.
Uh-huh.
And definitely, what about like wild boar? You need to break it up because it's about fermenting as well.
Mm. All right, we have a question coming in from the audience. You know, how much do Priory put out a week? What's your volume of output? Do you know?
See,
what's your biggest batch? You know, like what's a standard full capacity?
Well, see, we're small batch, so we've got two fermentation vessels in the brewery.
What kind of literage?
Yeah, so they're 1,000 liters.
Right.
So when we're brewing, the maximum we can hold is 1,000 liters. So double that is what.
3,000, I think.
No, but sorry. So double that I was thinking there. So maximum we can do is about 2,000 bottles, right?
Yeah.
But we obviously would do bottles
because it's 1,000, and you had to do 500 ml bottles.
Yeah, exactly.
That's division. That's live on the air, folks. Okay. That's live division on the air.
But how many weddings is that? Basically, let's say, how many piss ups is that?
0.5. Yeah. It's 0.25 weddings.
Well, see, this is like it actually goes back to the question of our flagship beer, for example, Original Sin. Yeah,
which is what you want. If you had to pick one, that's the one, right?
Yeah, so that's by far the most popular. Yeah.
It might be the best. No, I've had what is it? Plenary Indulgence Porter?
Plenary Indulgence, yeah.
Yeah, I have Plenary. And I've had the Mortal Sin. It's clocking it at 8%.
Yeah,
that'll take you for a ride. You it's kind of a roller coaster. You get on, and at the end, you're like, my knees are wobbly. And I've also had the Venial Sin, and that's good. It's a session IPA. It clocks in at 3.8, I believe.
Yeah,
and, yeah, you know. But the main line, the center lane is the Original Sin, and it never fails to accommodate. I think it fits all occasions.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not saying that to make you feel nicer, like to fluff the product that you make. That thank you for coming on the show. I actually believe what I'm saying. I think it's suitable for nearly anything.
Well, I agree, but there's also a trend these days for lower percentage beers.
I just want the calories, but not to get drunk.
Yeah.
I just want to get fat, but not drunk.
Okay, well then that's venial sin for you.
Venial, right?
Yeah,
so, yeah. I think I'd be more opting for the mortal sin.
Yeah, well... See, this is the thing, right? So I guess I'm going to give my little sales/marketing talk here as well, right?
Do you want
right?
backing music? Do you want me to put the Father Ted theme song on you? Go ahead. I'm into
it. No worries. So we came out with Original Sin Force, right? And we mentioned the story behind the name there, okay? So then, according to the Catholic Church, you can also have a venial sin.
Right.
So,
which is kind of like just whatever, you steal something or something.
Yeah, a venial sin's a light sin. Exactly. It's a lesser sin. So
lying.
A white lie, you know?
Okay.
Similar to a white lie. So then after a venial sin, you'll graduate to a mortal sin. A mortal sin's a dark sin.
Murder.
Exactly, all that sort of stuff. So when we were coming up with these beers, we knew straight away Venial Sin has to be a session IPA.
Yeah.
Mortal Sin has to be a double IPA.
Killer, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
but then after that, we were like, right, what's our next beer? We've done 3 IPAs. What are we going to do next?
I know, right?
So
where do
like,
you go from there?
Exactly.
That's my question.
So we went, first of all, we were going to do a porter. But we knew as well straight away what type of name we were going to go with because it goes back to the names of the sins.
Yeah.
So we went with Plenary Indulgence. So
what the hell is that? I'm not Catholic.
Yeah. So in the Catholic Church, does basically a plenary indulgence washes away your sins.
That's when you pay to have your sins removed, isn't
the
it?
The Pope washes away your sins. He redeems you of your sins.
I think this is where the Reformation started.
A papal cleansing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. And that's what you decided to name the porter.
You can do whatever you want, and then you pay somebody to have it removed.
Exactly so.
Yeah.
So you drink all your sins, and then at the end of the night, have your porter wash away your sins. You'd be grand.
It's kind of like a Xanax, isn't it?
All right. right. That's cool. All right. It's great. I think you summarized it. We got one or two more questions. We're gonna wind this thing down. All right. What do you guys do during mashing and waiting for water to heat, for example?
Oh, it's a good question, man.
And it's a good question because we're going to tell you what you actually do. It sounds like you're not ready to tell me. You're thinking about what you do, but you're not going
to
admit it.
Well, see, the first thing that came to mind is we listen to a lot of music.
Right.
So, like, there was
System of a Down.
Anything, everything.
Kaiser Chiefs.
It depends on...
Pixies.
Depends on whether things are going well or not going well.
All right.
Okay. Divine Comedy.
Well, we listen to a lot of Irish music.
Yeah.
We do.
Right.
Like, for example,
what is Irish music?
Well, see, this is the thing, right? Yeah. I love music in general.
Yeah.
And I used to give out that Irish radio stations weren't playing enough Irish music.
Any.
Like, because they'd play, I don't know, the script or whatever.
Phantom, bring back Phantom.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you there, right? Oh, but a band I never listened to until I was in the brewery, which was the Horselips.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah. They're legit.
That was, yeah. That's been a long time.
Therapy, baby.
Yeah,
therapy,
so therapy, yeah. I've become a big fan of Horselips since working in the brewery.
All right, so there you go.
Hottest Flowers. I like the Hottest Flowers.
Mm.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay, I'll leave.
Wicked. One more question before we get the hell out of here. What was your worst disaster of brewing, aside from the original sin, kind of aborting?
Yeah.
What was the worst, like, you know, spill, or what was the worst thing that happened?
I don't know. See, it's so I wasn't there when the brewery started. I'm a bit of a what's the word?
Johnny come lately.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. 90 years.
So when I joined the brewery, exactly, yeah.
Oh god,
that's already traumatized.
That's just a bad one. Okay.
No, but when I came into the brewery, I remember during the training. I never mentioned Bernard, by the way. Bernard is the person that I like to say is the one who does everything in the brewery.
Everything.
Everything.
I forgot about the person who does literally everything.
Yeah. So there's two people who do everything. So me and Bernard.
He does the original sin, the venial sin, and the mortal sin. Okay.
See,
yeah.
This is it. I'm like Bernard's replacement. Okay. So he used to do everything. Now I do everything because that's what I'm there for.
That's why you're here on the radio. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But he doesn't want to do.
But there was a catchphrase when I started, which was, "This never happened before."
Uh-huh. Okay.
So within the first month of me starting, everything went wrong.
Uh-huh.
For example, so I mentioned earlier that the fermentation vessel are 1,000 liters.
Yes.
Our mash tun is 600 liters.
Yeah.
So we had to do a double brew day.
Okay. So you're doing two steps at once.
No, we'd brew. We spend like 6 hours brewing, and then another 6 hours brewing.
Right.
Yeah.
But one of the days we were just barely starting the second brew, and the pump went, and we couldn't fix it, and all the ingredients and liquid was in the tank. So we got in touch with one of the repairmen to fix it, but he couldn't be there for another 3-4 hours later. So we just had to sit around waiting for him to come along.
Did you tell him what he was trying to like clear out wasn't shit and feces and poo poo, but it was beer, and that, like, you know,
you're gonna get a really good tip.
Yeah,
you know, it's
a case of original sin.
It was one of those things that we work hours that suit the vessel rather than that suit us.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
it's like being on a boat. Like, you show up whenever you have a job to do.
Exactly.
But painting's the same thing. Right?
Bullshit. I'm sorry, but you tell your paints what to do. Like, you're a slave to systems that are beyond your control. Chad.
You have drying time. Like, I've been told that the next place I'm going to be printing in, they don't have heating. If you're below 20 degrees. All the chemistry is different.
Okay. Yeah, well, below 20 degrees and above a brewery. That's how you handle that. Yeah. You gotta schedule what kind of office space you rent out.
Yeah, yeah. Don't print in tropical countries as well. Above 30 degrees, everything
paper,
goes to shit
paper
as well.
And the cost of paper, man.
Yeah.
The cost of paper. You remember that trauma. I see you wincing thinking about it. All right. Okay. That sounds like it was a shitty experience, Greg. I do
have a question. I want to know. Like, a friend of mine, his mother used to work in a rum distillery in Colombia, and for their parties they didn't drink at all. They basically had a bath of rum, and you did 10 to 20 seconds in the bath, and then it was just food. And she said apparently that you know, drinking rum, that's for amateurs. Yeah. Bathing. You need to bathe in it.
God.
Yeah. So I wanted to know.
What's your question, please?
Well, yeah. What do you do in the brewery? You know, do you actually drink your most, beer at your parties?
Well, what's the most like crazy? Have you ever like showered in it? Have you ever like jumped into a tub? What's the most kind of like circus act?
No, not intentionally. But about a month ago, I was brewing a batch and Bernard was helping me out that day. And I was transferring the liquid into the tank and just keeping an eye on the liquid, telling Bernard, right, time to turn the pump off. But I told him to turn the pump off, but at the same time, I kind of panicked and I turned the hose and just gave Bernard a shower.
Nice.
Of beer.
No, you didn't panic. Deep. It was wicked.
I also wanted to know, so I know that when you, when you do wine, when you clean out the vats, so you're paid in wine, but when you clean out the vats, you have to go in with a candle.
Some obscure country in South America. This is how this works.
No, this is in France.
Are you saying you will clean our tanks and we'll pay you in beer?
Well, he doesn't like beer. No, I'm not interested in beer, but in wine I would be. But in France you do it with a candle because you just get completely drunk off the fumes.
Yeah, you vaporize it and then drink the vapors. No, inhale the vapors.
No, so that doesn't happen in beer.
Oh God, that's not in air beer.
The ABV is too low. Well, Mortal Sin.
Mortal
Sin Plus. Greg, okay, we got to wind this down. I think that Nina, if she's done her job, she's warned you about this segment we do called the Pet Cemetery. Is that correct? She did her job. Tell me she did her job.
In a way, I asked her because I mentioned
she forgot.
You asked.
No.
That's good.
No, because I came in here going, what the hell's the story with this publisher? What's going on with the Pet Cemetery?
Now you know.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
So she touched on the Pet Cemetery and I said, say no more.
You're ready to go.
What have you drowned in a vat?
Oh dear God!
Get out of here! All right. Okay, we're gonna do the Pet Cemetery. All right, ladies and gentlemen. All right, I'm gonna have to shut your mics off. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to walk down the dusty, misty path with the knee high, chilled fogger vapor as we approach the Pet Cemetery. The crooked gate opens and we enter and we find out that, you know, we love our pets and sometimes they die. And so we have this little segment in which we kind of take a little visit to our little buddies who were once present in our lives and now are not. And Greg, you have a pet that's dead, right?
Sure.
All right, so you tell us about it. And that's it. And here we go. This is Pet Cemetery here on Unfixed.
Okay.
I don't want to be buried in a pet cemetery.
So it's not really a depressing story, I don't think, but for me it's a case that about a year and a half ago, so it kind of led to this job of mine. I was working in IT, doing a consultancy job where I was doing a lot of traveling. And I remember one time I just came back from some traveling and my boss told me, oh, you're going to London next week. And I was like, what? London next week? I have a Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds gig next week. And he's like, tough, you're going to London. I've already booked the tickets. And I was like, well, give me a bit more notice, mate, yeah? No. But I was over in London already pissed off that I didn't get to see my Nick Cave gig. And then my sister texted me that our dog died. And my dog, we had a Cavalier King Charles Lady and the Tramp, you know. And I just remember I was already so angry that I didn't get to see Nick Cave that I then started to get a little bit angry that the dog was dead as well. So I came back from travels, went to work, and had a huge argument with my boss. You know, just, in future, give me some fucking notice if you're sending me abroad, blah, blah, blah. I miss this. And then I said to him, I was like, do you know what? Look, just let me chill out for a bit or whatever. I worked away, bothering nobody or whatever. And then after a while, I just said to him, look, I need a few weeks off, 2 weeks off, just need to rethink about things. So I took 2 weeks off and I was like, do you know what, this job isn't for me, I need to get into something else. So I was saying to my girlfriend Sam, I was like, right, brewery or photography. So I reached out to Priory Brewing over Facebook, just saying, hey, I have no skills of use to you, but I would love to learn to brew. And they were like, right, let's have a chat. And here I am.
Like, I'm not sure. I'm not sure where to land with that. And that, like, look, seeing a Nick Cave live, seeing Nick Cave live isn't the easiest task in the world. Like, you have to go when there's a show. You have to show up.
Sure.
So your boss kind of, like, you know, didn't let you. And then this animal died. But it was really about missing Nick Cave. No, it was.
Would you sell this boss a beer?
Well, see, the dog led to me thinking.
Yeah.
No, I would not.
Yeah.
But the dog led me to thinking.
Right.
What and, my path has brought me to here.
Life is fucking short.
Life is short. Exactly. Yeah. What would make
Nick
me happy?
Do you have Nick Cave tickets for this the three arena show?
No, it's one of those things. Like, I don't think I can ever buy a Nick Cave ticket ever again.
I think the second night still has tickets on sale. Yeah. I don't think it's too late, Greg.
Don't know.
I'm pretty sure the second night is still on sale.
I know if I go to that, I go to that concert, I will not be thinking of the Nick Cave concert that I'm at. I'll be thinking of other things.
That's I don't know. All right, Greg. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been fantastic. I love your beer. I also like you. You know, with the plenary indulgence.
I really like your beer. I also like you. Yes. Yeah. it was nice of you to come along, but the sampler packs are
spectacular. The story's great. Pet Cemetery was great. It's been a blast. It's been a delight. We're gonna do another tiny bit of show, and then we're gonna wrap her down. Are you gonna hang out and hang out in the green room?
I'll go back to the green room, try more of Emma's beer.
Yeah, because she brought some along. We didn't get to talk about that. And that's a shame. But like, she's a home brewer, and she actually asked a question on Twitter. You know, home brewing versus, you know, commercial brewing. What's the difference? But maybe that's a conversation for another beer. I might just turn the show into just a show about beer because the guests bring huge amounts of free beer. It's fucking great.
Well, look, I know you don't want to make this a beer podcast, but one day you should honestly have Seb down. Right. He'd be a fascinating person to have a chat with.
Well, you know what? You know, the door is open. Yeah. And just, you know, send us a tweet, send us an email, or just send me a WhatsApp.
My guys talk with your guys.
Yeah. I have guys. My guy's a 6-foot-tall German woman, but hey. All right. Okay.
Cheers, guys.
Yeah, no. Thanks. Thanks so much for coming on. Thanks so much for being a part of the show. It's been a great great time, and it's a great brewery. And honestly, I don't just say, oh, I like it because people are here and things like this. The line is great. Like the Venial Sin, the Original Sin, the Mortal Sin, the Porter. I can't pronounce the name, so I'm not going to embarrass myself. And I wait with bated breath to see what else Priory's going to put out. And I like to think that, you know, in Temple Oak, that we're like in close enough proximity to Tala that even if it's Tala-centric, that we're still in the catchment area.
Well, go to the Two Sisters.
Can we talk about the Pines?
The Two Sisters.
Have you heard of the Pines?
Yeah, it's just around the corner.
Can we talk Pines? If I see a Priory tap in the Pines, I will
go to the Two Sisters. Beautiful pub.
I've been there. I like it. I'm just a Pines guy. Okay, it's an identity thing. Greg, thank you so much for coming into the show. We're gonna do the scary news. We're gonna check about Devin with eco tips and that stuff. So.
Cheers, guys.
All right, thanks for coming
in. Thanks a lot, Greg. Light as the birds in that circle above, to put in my song of love. Fate doesn't hang on a wrong or right choice. Chad, I didn't know the Father Ted theme was a whole song. I thought it was this little, you know, parable. I thought it was a little piece of prose. It's a whole dang poetry thing.
Well, you know, you discover these things. Like, I didn't know it either. Like the Divine
and you learned
Comedy.
About you learned about Tala Enterprise tonight.
Yeah,
it made it. Divine Comedy.
Divine Comedy.
Oh, I thought you said Divine Comedy. Okay. I thought that was a command statement. I thought you told me to define comedy as a command statement. I got so angry.
I got so mad.
It was visceral. I got so mad. Like, if you listen back to the show, like, Define Comedy. Like, I freaked out. I don't know why.
Well, no, I've gotten too used to speaking to Siri, you know?
Yeah. You shouldn't use those always on microphone things. It's ridiculous. So you've given Google a constant on microphone in your personal space. That's your plan.
Yeah.
Good job. Well handled.
You know, at least somebody's listening.
At least a company, a multi-billion dollar company is listening.
You know, it's either Google or a Yorkshire Terrier. So,
I would opt for the Yorkshire 5,000 to 1. Chad, you are aware that a dear friend of mine, Devin, who I call Devin Oss on the show, she died. Yeah. She died September 17th of last autumn.
Yeah.
And she was here and we were doing the music show that I sometimes do called The Dispatch. on Ultimate Radio. And we were just hanging out, and she was playing songs. It was a good night. And then I was like, hey, you know, let's do this. Let's do a segment. We'll record it, and then I'll have it, and we can play it on the show. And, you know, she was kind of an ecologist. She was a sustainable builder. She was
down in Clark Jordan.
Yeah. And so, like, that's what that
Eco Village. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing that Devin really taught me about sustainability projects and things is that they're easy to criticize because you can easily, like, find their weak points. Super easy because people are just giving it a go because they have no corporate backing. They have no, like, there's no investors behind them. And they're trying to make something work. And so it's super easy to look at a project that's trying to be sustainable and eco-friendly and say, yeah, but, you know, then you also, you hypocrite, you're blah, blah, blah. And yeah, you are, yeah. Sure. But it's like, well, we're working on that. And if 40%, if 20% of it works, that's 20% better than what you're doing. Is kind of what she opened my eyes to the notion of. So if I make my house like, you know, 10% more sustainable in terms of, like, you know, lower carbon footprint or whatever, that is very good. And as Barack Obama said to his daughters, you know, better is really good. And we shouldn't shoot for perfection. We should shoot for better.
Well, also perfection is, you know what you're shooting for. A lot of this problem with eco living or sustainable development is that we're not exactly sure what we're looking for. We're just looking for something different.
Yeah, we're looking for something better.
Yeah.
It's true.
That it can continue on a longevity.
Yes.
Moving away from the idea of progress towards the idea of continuity.
Yes. Sustainability. Oh. I know it's a played out term, but that is the term.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we developed the segment we're going to do. It's called Devin's Eco Tips, in which she kind of, you know, we have a fun time, and she throws some ideas that anybody can do to make their lives a little bit more eco-friendly. And we only recorded three. And I put the one out on the live stream, and then she passed away. And then when the podcast, the first one came out, she had already passed away. And then by the time we did the second one, she had been gone. And really, like, when I listen back to shows and when I'm editing shows, like, hearing her voice is significantly impactful for me. There you go. This is Devin, posthumously, but this is Devin's Eco Tips, the last thereof. I just wish we could have done 5,000 more of these. There you go. This is Devin here on the show. All right, we are here for the recurring segment of Eco Tips here with Devin Oss. Devin Oss, we are here on in this late summer. What do you have to tell the late summer kind of hangers-on who are hoping to be less impactful in a negative way to the environment, who want to be positive environmental citizens? Do you have any eco tips for the listeners?
This is a good one for people who don't like to do laundry. Wash your clothes less. You're going to use less water. You're going to put less detergents into the water system. And all the little microplastics that are in your polyester clothes shed into the water. So if you do less laundry, you'll do less damage.
You will be a better person by being a stinkier, disgusting polyester synthetic wearing hippie.
You probably don't stink as much as you think.
How do we actually quantify that?
Ask your friend to smell you.
Ask your friends to smell you. Devin Oss with us one more time for our Eco Tips. There you go. It's tough hearing the voice of your friend. Like, that was, I was sitting right here. And she was just here, you know.
In the studio, yeah.
So, there you go.
I get told I stink as well, probably because I lived in France for too long. But
it's a privilege of the unwashed.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know, wash yourself less. You know, that was her parting wisdom on our show is ask your friends if you smell.
Yeah, we should also have we had a shower talk about peeing in the shower.
I don't think we've gone there, but we could at any moment.
Yeah, because flushing uses a lot of water.
Okay, it does. We had flushing. We had shower. Like, don't. She would explain, don't shave in the shower. Don't brush your teeth in the shower. I think that's the wisdom that she imparted. Don't brush your teeth in the shower. It's way longer. Way more water than you need.
Okay. Yeah.
Chad, around this time of night.
Oh no.
Things get a little. Things get a little, I don't know, threatening.
Oh, yeah.
Things get a little less than...
I get nervous now.
Yeah.
You know I don't like the scary story.
There's nothing scary about it. It's not a story, Chad. It's...
A scary news.
Oh, no.
It's news from around the world that's a little bit alarming.
Uh-oh.
It's true, and it's happening, buddy. All right. So, like, story number one. A surfer punches great white shark off of the New Zealand beach. A 60-year-old surfer said he escaped from a great white shark off the New Zealand coast by repeatedly punching it in the eye. Nick Minogue, no relation, of Auckland, said he was surfing at Palawi Beach around 11:30 a.m. Saturday. What is he? He's in, I picture, like, you know, a shoulder length, yeah, kind of wavy, grayish hair dude.
And he's no relation to you or who?
To Kylie Minogue.
Okay, I think she's Australian. Okay,
well, you know, the region.
Okay, it's the region. When
a 10-foot great white shark bit the front end of his surfboard. I was quite a... Wait, hold on, New Zealand. I was quite a long way out. There was a solid swell running. I was just paddling along and I hit on the side of my elbow and my forearm, Minogue told the New Zealand Herald. By the time I realized what was going on, his teeth were definitely latched on the front section of the board. Minogue said he decided to fight the attacking predator. So I actually shouted it, fuck off! And went to punch it in the eye and I missed, he said.
Oh.
Then I pulled my fist back and shouted, fuck off again! And I got it right smack bang in the eye. It's quite a big eye. About 3 knuckles across. It kind of looked up and rolled up. That's really good, you know, exposition. Like, you can really picture it.
Yeah.
Right? It rolled it up. It rolled back. The surprised shark let go of Minogue's board, allowing him to paddle back to shore. Minogue said he was lucky to escape with a shallow cut to his arm. He said the shark's teeth made 2 punctures in his wetsuit, but only one broke the skin. Shark experts confirm the bite mark on Minogue's board appears to have been made by a great white shark. There you go.
I was last week on Ear to the Ground, there was a guy explaining how he was attacked by his bull. And this bull knocked him to the ground. And I think the best thing about the story was that the guy, he was a farmer, and he was dressed to the nines like he was going to church.
Is this part of the scary news, yes or no?
Yeah, well, yeah, and he was dressed to the nines in the field with the person, the reporter, explaining how the bull pushed him to the ground, and he decided, well, I'm either going to die here or I'm going to poke him in the eye and jump over this fence. And that's what he did.
Dog reunited with Pennsylvania family after being stolen by hawk. A Pennsylvania family was reunited with their dog 28 hours after the toy poodle was carried off by a hawk. Deborah Falcone of Whitehall, Allegheny County, said her 16-year-old dog, Portia, who is deaf and blind, was snatched of the home of the upper back deck on Thursday. Falcone said that she gathered a group of friends and searched the area long into the night, but there were no signs of the toy poodle or the bird of prey who grabbed her.
Wait, a hawk stole Falcone's dog?
Falcione. I was crying my eyes out. She is my life. My dogs are my life. Falcione told WTAE. Falcione, she was shocked to receive a call the next afternoon from Balhad Pet Hospital saying they had her dog. I said, that's impossible. She could not have survived 28 hours in the bitter cold weather and 10 degree weather, she thought. This is a 6.5-pound dog. She's blind. She's deaf. She's 16. I went down there and sure enough, this is her dog. The old dog with the strongest will to survive, Falcione said. The animal hospital said Portia had been found by a neighbor about 4 blocks from her home, full of talon marks. The dog was cold, lethargic, but didn't have any broken bones. How she got away, I have no idea how she survived it. I'll never know. I'm drunk on white wine right now. By the grace of God, God is real. This God is still alive. An 8-pound Bichon Frisé named Zoe survived a similar ordeal in January 2018. Monica Newhard said Zoe was grabbed out of her Bowmanstown, Pennsylvania yard by a swooping eagle. The dog was found on a road 4 miles from Miner's home. And they found it on Facebook. Zoe was not seriously injured and was homed a day after that. Well,
they found the dog on Facebook.
Well, they found it and they found it. They re-found it, kind of.
Why? Because the dog was on their phone or what?
You know, on Facebook, someone found a post about here's this dog with talon marks.
Okay.
And, right, and this is the last scary news story, and then, Chad, we got to get the hell out
of here. Was the poodle able to see or hear after the...
No.
Okay. So there is absolutely no health benefits to being abducted by a hawk.
As a deaf, blind, 16-year-old poodle, yeah, it would appear that there are none.
Okay.
It would appear that there are none, Chad. All right, last scary news story. A New York State students buy a plane ticket to score Chick-fil-A lunch. Chick-fil-A, Chad, is like,
Is this some code word for some hookup?
No, no, it's a Chick-fil-A is a...
If I put that on Tinder, what will I get?
A lot of venereal disease. A group of New York State students craving Chick-fil-A sandwiches concocted a scheme that involved buying an airline ticket without boarding the plane. Vincent Bertuno, a senior at Rasselsella Polytechnic Institute in Troy, said that his cross-country track and field teammates had a week off from competitions and decided they want to buy some Chick-fil-A sandwiches for a team lunch. The group discovered the nearest Chick-fil-A was an hour and a half away from the school, but they then discovered the fast food eatery had a location inside the Albany International Airport. The team members each chipped in about $5.50 to buy a Portino, a $98 one-way airline ticket to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, which was the cheapest ticket they could find that departs from Albany. Puerto Rico used the ticket to go through airport security to get the Chick-fil-A, where he ordered $227.28 worth of Chick-fil-A food, 15 sandwiches, 15 large fries. Their waffle fries are spectacular. It's really good. 13 orders of 12-piece nuggets, which aren't great, a bag of cookies, and a lemonade for some asshole who wanted to seem special. Puerto Rico, he had to leave with a fucking gigantic lemonade as well as that huge financial burden and physical burden. Puerto Rico then left the airport and served lunch to his teammates. Chad, that's it. We gotta bail.
Did he use a trolley?
I don't think so, man. I don't think so.
It sounds like a lot of fast food.
It sounds like a fast food and a lemonade.
Yeah.
And a lemonade. A gigantic fucking...
I doubt he could run with all of that through security.
I hate it. Folks, if you can hear me say this, and I'm saying this to you directly, I thank you so much for tuning into the show. There's literally no point in doing any of this if no one hears it. So if you can hear me saying this, I'm thanking you, not the masses, not the throngs, not the dozens of listeners.
Not the potential listeners, but not you, the people who are out there listening to us.
Tell your friends, baby, but you as well. And if you want a break from reality, tune into Unfixed. We hit you with the rapid-fire segments. We hit you with Chad's benevolence, his white coat.
And I also wanted to say, you know, do message us for who you'd like to... What kind of guests you'd like us to have.
Future guest suggestions. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a... You know, what things in alternative culture in Ireland
in
would you
world,
like to hear about?
Or the whole world. Anywhere
the whole
in the world.
World.
The whole damn world.
Yeah. Okay.
Hit us up. All right. We're going to wind her down. We're going to get the hell out of here. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. At Unfixed Radio on Twitter. And thanks. Sincerely.
Thanks a lot.
Chad, give him a
follow
little...
Follow Unfixed.
Give him a little smooch.
Good night, everybody.